You know, I was so absolutely blessed to go to the Fresh Fire Conference, and I want to thank you all for being a part of sending me there. And I just can't say enough about it, but I want to thank you for entering in last week. Of course, when I'm gone, I always want to call right home and find out what went on, and they showed the Karen Wheaton sermon message, and I told them, don't turn it off at the altar, because she's going to hit that altar, and it's just a relevant word for the people of God. And they said, no, they didn't turn it off, and you all entered in. And so thank you for being with me. I felt like you were there with me. And there were so many things that happened. There were so many great words, and sometimes there were no words. I mean, I think with Timothy Dixon, he must have, you know, he doesn't, you know, he moves a little slower anyway. And he may have spoken 100 words, but his word was this, is that this day is upon us, and I hope that most of you will be able to receive this. He said it's not so much a thus saith the Lord today. It'll be like Elijah, where it says by the word of Elijah it didn't rain, and by the word of Elijah it rained. And it will be by our words and declarations, being that close to God. It's time that we decree and declare, church. And many of you are on to that. But I'm just telling you, it was a powerful word. And the glory so fell in that room. Glory means weighty. And I've been in a lot of good services before. But I don't think anything like that. I mean, the glory was so weighty, you could hardly stand underneath it. But anyway, and then you saw it online, I'm sure. The old guy, bless his heart, he was about 80. Maybe 85 years old, sitting in the wheelchair. And Pastor Kent had prayed for a lot of people. And his wife came and said, there's one more. He had already prayed for a lot of people. He wanted to only pray for the terminally ill, that the doctor had said, you've got 4 stage or you're going to pass. And so that line kind of grew, I think, more. But so he quit and said, that's all. I'll pray for more in the morning. And we had morning meetings and night meetings. And this little man, his name was Dennis, and Pastor Kent went over there to pray for him one more time. That little man just started shuffling his feet in the wheelchair backwards, and we got excited over that, but pretty soon he came running across the platform, just running. I mean, when you're that age, I don't think you run very much anyway, but then to have Parkinson's so severely, and then watch him run like that was really an amazing thing, so I was just so blessed to get to go. Amen. So let's turn over to Exodus chapter 8. And I'm very thankful that the Lord put this word in my heart. And I'll tell you where it came from. When Brother Timothy was here, he sung a song that he had written. I didn't know that he had written it until I saw it when I got home on a CD. And it was called Exodus. He sang it here and he sang it there. And it was just called Exodus, and it talked about the people of Israel and how we're at the end of time, and there is going to be another Exodus. There will be the last day Exodus. And so I began to ponder that in my heart, and this isn't a warmed over from what I got from anyone. I just want you to hear the word of the Lord this morning. We will start in Exodus chapter 8, but folks, let me tell you, yeah, chapter 8. But I don't know how anyone would make it. It will make it from here until the end without the word in your heart. And not only in your heart, but in your mind. So much of the time in the church, in our spiritual speaking, we talk so much about things being in our heart. But you know, we better get this word not only in our heart, but in our minds. And not only in our mind, but in our heart. Deep into our spirits. So I just want to encourage you today to read and to pray. And if you'll read the book of John, if you're new at it, if you'll read the book of John, it'll tell you where it all got started, how Jesus came on the earth, makes Jesus look like a regular man, even though we know he was all man and all God. Or, you know, start in the Psalms if you want. But just put the word in your heart and in your mind. Amen? So let's read over here at Exodus. And I'm going to call My message today, the lines are being drawn. The lines are being drawn. And again, you can always hear all of our messages on our website, landmark-christian.org. Landmark-christian.org. Exodus 8:20. Reading from the New King James. And the Lord said to Moses, "Rise early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh as he comes out to the water. And say to him, 'Thus says the Lord, let my people go that they may serve me.'" Or else, somebody say, or else. "If you will not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies on you and your servants and on your people and on your houses. And the houses of the Egyptians shall be full of swarms of flies, and also on the ground on which they stand. And in that day, I will set apart the land of Goshen, in which my people dwell." That's where the Israel lived, there in Goshen, just a little spot of land. They put them out there away from everybody. But he said, "In that day I'll set apart the land of Goshen in which my people dwell, that no swarm of flies will be there, in order that you may know that I am the Lord in the midst of the land." Now, here's what I want you to underline or highlight in verse 23. "I will make a difference between my people and your people. Tomorrow this sign shall be." When God makes up his mind, it doesn't take very long for him to accomplish that. Verse 24. "And the Lord did so." And the Lord did so. "Thick swarms of flies came into the house of Pharaoh, into his servants' houses, and into the land of Egypt. And the land was corrupted because of the swarm of flies." Okay, so we'll just stop there. But go back to verse 23. "I will make a difference between your people and my people and your people. And tomorrow this will happen." And the Lord did so. He did just that. So I know that Porterville, some of you people are telling me you've had some flies, a lot of flies around. Yesterday I was at Parker's little birthday party, and those flies just came in on the patio. And one lady was from Springville, and she's like, "Where's all these flies?" Well, don't panic. It's not this. It's just, you know, there's orange trees around, and there's cows, and, you know, it's the weather's cooling down. So don't panic. We're not in this situation. But you tell me. He said, "Now, I'm going to set apart this land of Goshen, and I'm going to make a difference between the people. And I believe that I am hearing the Lord say to me, and I believe you will agree with this, that today, in this hour in which we live, God is going to make a difference between his people and the world's people. His people and the devil's people." Now, there's only two kinds of people on earth, and we don't have the same father. So he said, "I will make a difference between them." Now, as I heard Brother Timothy's song saying there is going to be an exodus, this was at the time of the exodus, when God was going to take his people out. So I want to tell you today, church, don't forget who you are and whose you are, as the song says. We are the only species that God put his countenance upon. He didn't put it in animals, but he did give us a countenance. And you can look at a person, and you can usually tell whether the person's upset, whether they're angry, or whether they're fearful. You can tell when something's going on, even if we're Christians. You can see the heaviness usually right through here. Frontlets, I want to call them, kind of bow down. But you know something's wrong. And with your children, you can always tell when something's wrong. With the grandchildren, you can tell. And with the saints, I can usually talk to you just a few minutes and know that something's going on in your family or in your home. I may not be able to pinpoint it, put my finger on it, but something's happening. But I do want to say this. The countenance of God that I bless you with every Sunday. And you know when you've read the word that God says, "I put my countenance upon you." And his countenance is simply his light. It is the light of the Lord, which is the candle of man, the candle of a man's soul. And so when he put that countenance on his people, it's a different countenance than what the world has. You can be over at Safe Mart or downtown or at Walmart or wherever and run onto a person you have neither said one word, and yet you know they're a Christian. You know that. And there's times where you feel like this other person is of a different spirit. And that's not being judgmental. That's not being any of that. I'm just saying, folks, things are changing so quickly. I mean, it's going fast. But I am here to tell you this morning, I heard the Lord saying, please tell my people not to worry. Don't struggle with it. Don't live in fear. Because I will take care of my own. I am making the difference today. I'm making a difference between my people. See, we don't live in Goshen anymore. But we live in the kingdom of God, which is even better. It's the kingdom of heaven. When Jesus came, the kingdom came. And when you and I gave our hearts to Jesus, we were ushered right into the kingdom of God. I pray that someone here today will give your heart to Jesus. And you'll walk right out of Egypt, which represents the world. And you'll enter Goshen, the modern day kingdom. Or the kingdom, the modern day Goshen. And you'll walk in there because I'm telling you, let me show you some things about Goshen. But before I tell you that you have nothing to worry about, let me say this to you. The Bible says we will not, when we live in the kingdom, when we are in Goshen, we won't suffer the wrath of God. We're just not going to do it. According to the word, we're not. David said, Lord, you are my refuge and my shelter and my high tower. Lord, that's who you are. Psalms 91, he said, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High God will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That's where we are. Under the shadow. In the kingdom. In Goshen. Hallelujah. Now, I've said this to you many times, and I don't say this proudly. I don't say this wanting it to happen. It's really a sad state of affairs. But you and I are going to see the reward of the wicked. Now, we're just going to, and it's starting now. It's already started. It's not going to start. Oh, man, for years I've been saying, Lord, I'm getting tired of saying he's going to. But now I'm telling you, he is. When darkness covers the earth and gross darkness the people, my light will be seen on you. That's beginning to happen. Oh, God, help me with this. Help me, Lord. We're already seeing the reward of the wicked coming into our cities, coming into the schools, coming into the media, the government. There's a lot of things beginning to happen. One of the greatest rewards that you and I have received is when we were saved, we stepped inside the kingdom. We came into Goshen. Doesn't get any better than that. And then we have the blessing of being able to call upon the Lord day or night. But God is making a difference between his church and the world. And I'm glad we live right here in the kingdom. But let me tell you something, folks. When the rapture comes, bad English, but everybody ain't going. And I do a lot of funeral services. And everybody that passes, excuse me, are not going to heaven. Though many try to preach them right in there. The Catholic Church does pray them right on in. But no. And I'll give you scripture on that in just a minute. So I want to tell you with what we know just right now, with what I'm giving you right here, Be very careful, because let me tell you something. Do not be calling people of the world brother or sister. You know why? Because they are not your brother. They are not your sister. They got a different father. In fact, Jesus said, you child of the devil. Remember, Jesus said, your father is the devil. You'll hear the world. The other day I was in the grocery store and I saw these two young men, and they both had, one of them had a big bottle of some kind of liquor, and he had a 12-pack of some kind of beer, and the other, he was all loaded up. And I guess, I don't know if they were going to the same party or getting the same truck or where they were, but anyway, they had it all. And one said to the other, I'll see you there, brother. And I thought, yeah, y'all are brothers. You're brothers. I'm not your sister, though. I got a whole big family of sisters and brothers, but I am not your brother. So y'all are sister. So be careful, guys and girls, who you call sister and brother. And you know, in the church, we have to be careful, because myself included, we get habits of saying, God bless you, bless you. I wasn't going to bless those men. I wasn't going to bless them. Now, I would minister to them. But you don't, you get my point this morning? They're not your brother. So if God is drawing the difference, then so must we. And I'm not talking about being prideful and being super spiritual. Go to work and act all super spiritual and prideful. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm just saying that be who you are and don't compromise when you get to work to be accepted by them. You don't need to be accepted by them. You don't have to be. In fact, God's going to divide us even more and more. You say, what is happening? Well, I'll show you. Let's look back at verse 23, Miss Kathy. 23, I will make a difference between my people and your people. And tomorrow the sign will be, and the Lord did it. Now it's already happening. Here it said tomorrow. But we're watching some things take place right now that we just never dreamed that we would. We just didn't. Now listen to this. In Revelation chapter 22, about verse 11. Do you have that, Kathy? 22:11, Revelation. Look. Now, he who is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he who is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he who is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he who is holy, let him be holy still. Behold, I'm coming quickly. And look, my reward is with me to give everyone according to his work. So God says, I have a reward for the world, and I have a reward for my people. And if you're filthy, you're just going to be filthy still unless you get saved. And if you're righteous, you'll be righteous still. And if you're holy, you'll be holy still. And if you're unjust, you'll be unjust still. So, even in this day, on chapter 8 and all back through the people of Israel and God's people, Israel, there was always a mixture. Always. There's always been a mixture of good and bad. It's all in there. And there's always been a mixture in the nations of the world of good and bad, the holy and the unholy, the filthy and the holy, the clean and the unclean. It's always been there. The saint and the sinner, all mixed up together. I want you to turn over to Matthew and let me prove this by the word of the Lord. Matthew 13, very familiar to you. Most of you know this. But here's where it starts really moving. Matthew 13, I'm going to wait for you because I want you to see this. Verse 24, and we'll read down through about verse 30. Look. Another parable, this is Jesus speaking now, another parable he put forth to them saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in the field. But while he slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. So the servant of the owner came and said to him, "Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares?" And he said to them, "An enemy has done this." You should have that marked in your Bible probably 10 times. I've brought you that many times. And the servant said to him, "Do you want us to then go and gather them up?" But he said, "No, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest." And at the time of harvest, and how many believe we're at the time of harvest right now? We are. And at the time of harvest, look at this. "I will say to the reapers," who are the angels? The reapers are the angels. "I will say, first, gather the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn." So just wait, and he said at the end time, there's going to be a big mixture of the just and the unjust, the filthy and the filthy, and the righteous and the holy, and the unholy. And we say, should we just burn their houses down? How about all these people rioting and setting out the setting the buildings on fire and all that? How about them? God said, just leave it. I'm getting ready to deal with them. You'll see the reward of the wicked. I will make a difference between you and the world. But he says to the angels, he said, in the end, I will go first and gather up the tares. First, I will gather the tares and I will bind them in bundles to burn. I will bind them up. The first bundle will be the tares. And then he says, I'll gather the wheat into my barn. Now, I know this isn't the biggest barn that we could have built. There's one in Bakersfield that's probably 10 times this size. Ron Vietti built it. But when I knew that this church would be built, the Lord said, build me a barn to hold the souls of man. And I thought that was the funniest thing, but never thought twice about it. Build me a barn to hold the souls of man. So I know it's harvest time. And God said in one part of the word, my house is full, but my fields are empty. But he's getting ready to put every single one of us. He said, pray that in the end time, that I will put laborers into the field. And that's why we've experienced what we've experienced, what you've gone through. You're going to be able to share that with someone. And I don't know how the stories are going to work. All I know is there's glories in the story, in your story, and God is going to begin to bring the harvest in. He said, I'm going to gather my wheat, which is us, the Christian people, those that get saved and walk into the kingdom. I will gather them into my barn. But first, I'm going to have them gather up the wicked, I'm going to have them gather the tares and bind them up just like a bale of hay. I'll tie them up, he said, and cast them into the fire. Now, that's what the Bible said. Pastor's not being hard-hearted. I'm just telling you what the Word of God says. So today, what you and I are seeing with our own eyes, if you see the news at all and you hear what's happening, we are seeing the world being bundled together in their lawless ways. It is amazing to me how much they are just fitting together. Oh, they love their doctrine. They just love their ideas and they love their thoughts and they just love the way they're taking over. They think. But what's happening, it's not really, listen, thus saith the Lord, or I'll just say it. It's not really them taking over. It's God bundling them up.
He said, you get together, I'm going to tie you up. I'll bring you all together. And then he'll deal with us. But see, the ones that are being bundled together today, the tares, they call good evil. Anything that's good, if you meet any one of those people, they call good evil. If you're conservative, well, you're a racist bigot. If you want to be a good parent and see what your children are learning at school, you shouldn't have that right. You're a bad boy, bad girl, for looking at what your kids, you know, trying to get in the way of the teachers. You want freedom of speech? Freedom of speech, folks, is a good thing. Freedom of religion, that's a wonderful thing to have. A free nation like we live in America is a beautiful thing. We are so blessed to be Americans. Oh, my goodness, are we blessed. And yet they call an American a bad thing. It's almost as though they hate America. And God is beginning to reveal their ugliness. And they're all coming together. And he said, I'm going to send my reapers, my angels, and I'm going to put them all together. They think that they're just, they think AOC, she's just like a little magnet. She's just drawing people. I don't know if she's the center of the bale of hay or what, but they're just all coming together. And then they call evil good. Evil, good. Bring my phone to me. I saw something this morning. They call evil good. Abortion is evil, but they're calling it good. To change your sex from a man to a woman to a man, that's evil, but they're calling that good. They're calling evil good. It's just the craziest thing ever. I wanted to show you this. They call burning cities down. One senator last year said they were just having a party. Remember that? Something like that. Having a party. It was actually a peaceful protest. And police cars are burning. And buildings are burning and they're destroying businesses. But they were all coming together. They're all bundling up. They're bundling together. Oh, yeah, I know what I wanted to show you. Says this, California Nordstrom ransacked by 80 looters in ski masks and crowbars and weapons. About 80 looters with ski masks ransacked a Nordstrom location in San Francisco in a scene described by witnesses as insane. And looks something like out of a movie. Calling good evil. And they won't get a thing done to them. And so the limit was they could take $900 worth of stuff. Am I right, Brother Danny? $900 worth of stuff without getting prosecuted. But these guys took thousands of dollars from Nordstrom and Saks Fifth Avenue in Chicago. How did they do that? Those people have security. And yet they're being bundled together, folks. And we're being gathered into the barn. You know how you got here, T.L. and Adam? You got gathered into the barn. God saw your heart and he touched it. And he brought your babies with you into the barn. There'll be a blessing over our homes and over our house. Let me run back over here. I didn't finish what I wanted to do. Go back to Genesis chapter 8. I'm sorry, Exodus. I want to show you. I won't take time to read it all because there's so much. But in talking about Goshen, and remember, we're talking about the kingdom of God. He said, in that day I'll set apart the land of Goshen. So he has literally set us apart. And I believe even this land that we're on, just 7 acres. I believe this is a Goshen. And I believe there's other churches in our city that are Goshens. And we have come together, and he didn't bind us. We're free. He said, I will bring my wheat into the barn. I will bring you. I don't have to tie you up. But we love to hang out with like people. I do want to ask you, who are you bundling with, though? Be careful who you bundle with. If you're more comfortable with the world than you are the church, could be very dangerous. So be careful who you're bundling with in this hour. Don't let them talk you into what they believe. Listen carefully to what you are being told, church. Okay, because the angels know who is and who aren't. All right. I want to tell you a little bit more about Goshen. Look at chapter 9, Kathy, chapter 9, verse 4. And the Lord will make a difference between the livestock. Look at this. Even your dogs and cats and your cows. The Lord will make a difference between the livestock of Israel and the livestock of Egypt. So nothing shall die at all of that belongs to the children of Israel. No, I'm going to make a difference even between your livestock. He's going to make a difference between our homes. Your home, your apartment, wherever you live, it's going to be like an embassy. An embassy in the kingdom. An embassy in Goshen. Ah, that's so beautiful. Look at verse 6. So the Lord did this thing on the next day. And all the livestock of Egypt died. But of the livestock of the children of Israel, not one died. Say, look what happened behind us. Listen, I was sitting with Kent Christmas, Dixon's, and the Isaacs at one table. Not name calling, just telling you. And they said, are you from California? And they just thought, oh my goodness, you all are doomed. It was the saddest thing when they hear you're from California. They're like, well, are you going to leave? One of the Isaacs said, are you going to leave? And I said, no, honey, I'm not leaving. I said, our little county, I mean, it's bad like most are. There's sin and criminals and crime. But it's a good place, and it's peaceful, and the people are friendly. We got great churches. And we just, it's good where we live. It's good where we live. Wow. Well, I said, I know all you think about San Francisco and L.A. And they just hardly could believe it. Well, Brother Timothy says, tell them what happened during that meeting. And I said, well, you guys, you know, it was very hurtful. And Pastor Kent said, he told me what happened. And I said, well, you know, we had this big meeting, and I didn't know how many followers this guy had. And we had the Dixons come in, and we got people coming in from Africa and Nashville and all over the place. And the place was packed that first night. And then we got through Tuesday. I think we just had him Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday, Tuesday. And then I said there was a COVID that just swept over the house. I can never tell it without crying. And they said, what? And I said, no. And 5 people died. And they were just, what? I said, yeah. They came to get healed and they died. I said, but I prophesied to you guys. I don't know how this is going to happen, but I prayed it again this morning. I said, the Lord is going to cause us to be a Goshen. And a place, he doesn't have to make up for anything, but he is mad at the devil. I felt that in my spirit right there. And Kit Christmas said, oh, God is mad at that devil. I said, yes, he is, and he's going to have to cross over us. I said, Lord, if there is any kind of a little bug or any kind of symptom or anything that's not like you, cause it just to pass over Porterville completely. I'll just pass over Porterville, not just because we're asking for our church, but everyone. We've got to call these things that are not as though they are, church, and hold it. Man, these guys didn't lose one cow. And then God said, Goshen got a bunch of sores. All those people were stricken with sores. But it said not one sore came upon the people of Goshen. Not one sore. He said, I made a difference between my people and your people, devil, Pharaoh. And then look over at chapter 9. Look at verse 23. And Moses stretched out his rod toward heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail, and fire darted to the ground, and the Lord rained hail on the land of Egypt. And it was very heavy hail. But look at verse 26. Only in the land of Goshen were the people of Israel, there was no hail. Now, how does that happen? Pure hail, H-A-I-L, falling over here and nothing here. I mean, you could just stick your hand through it over here to Goshen. No flies, no sores, no cattle dying, nothing. Chapter 10, verse 23, they did not see one another because it was so dark. Look, it was dark in Egypt. They did not see anyone, nor did anyone rise from their place for 3 days. But all the children of Israel had light in their houses, in their dwellings. They even had light when darkness covered the earth. Now listen, it's getting pretty dark in America. Pretty crazy. But light's going to shine on us. The light of the Lord in Goshen. In the kingdom of God. How's that work? I don't know. I don't have to know. I just really don't care. And so Moses went to the top of the mountain to get the Ten Commandments to hear from God, and he was gone too long. And while he was gone, the people began to worship a calf. It does not take people long when they get away from each other or they get away from their pastor. And I'm talking, I don't care if you're Baptist, Nazarene, who you are, but you need to stay, as Solomon said, come feed near my tent. Let's stay together, folks. We don't want to get bundled with anyone that we shouldn't. Gather yourself into the barn. Moses said that he came down and they were worshiping a calf because they said, you've been gone too long. What are the people saying today? And the prophets prophesied. Top prophets prophesied. Donald Trump would be in there in August. And he's not. So I'm just going to throw the baby in, you know, out with the bathwater. Talking to one of the gospel singers. And she says to me, I don't know. I don't know, Pastor. I'm kind of scared. I just feel like I've lost my identity. And she said, I second guess everything and I just don't know. And I'm just wondering if everything I've been taught is real. I'm just wondering if everything I've been taught is real. And I said, sis, now you better get back over here. Where are you going to church? Well, I'm not going anywhere right now. I said, okay, but you better get in there. You go and you hear the word taught. Well, I can learn home. No, you just go hang out with your people. You gather yourself into the barn. I wasn't even teaching this message then. But get over there because God is bringing a division. And his house is the only safe place on earth. His kingdom is the only safe place. Everything that can be shaken is being shaken right now, and you know that. Everything's being shaken. But his kingdom won't be shaken. Okay, one more verse. Let me read it to you. 11 and 7. I don't know if I gave that to you, Kathy, but look at this. It's so powerful. Exodus 11 and 7. But against none of the children of Israel shall a dog move its tongue against man or beast, that you may know that the Lord does make a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. He said, I'm not even going to let a dog bark at you. I mean, that's pretty heavy. But folks, God is dealing with a remnant. He's dealing with you and me. He's showing himself real to us. In the New Testament, three or four gospels, three gospels at least, Jesus said, my Father will reveal me to those who are obedient to me and love me. My Father will reveal me. So that's why you all are starting to feel this drawing, and you're starting to come closer, and you're wondering, what's going on inside me? It's because he's drawing you. He's drawing you in
to his faith. He's drawing you into where he is, right into the kingdom, because he knows everything around you is going to be shaken. And when it breaks all over, it won't be here. 1,000 may fall at one side and 10,000 in the other, but it won't come near you. That's what the Bible says. Not even a dog came against him. So pray, read. I tell you, folks, come close to where he is. Remember the blood on the doorpost? They saw the blood, they passed over. There's another exodus. And you know what the exodus is? Us being lifted out of here. We're going home. We're going to heaven. And the Bible says this, before those people of Israel left Egypt, before they walked out, Moses said, go to the people and ask them, and they will give you all of their stuff. They left there with great wealth. They had jewelry. They had everything they needed. And God provided for them and kept them because they stayed together. They stayed together as they walked. They were together. You hear me? They were together at the end. And they all escaped out of Egypt's bondage. And he's making a difference between us and them. And he's providing for his church. And God will take care of his people. He's going to take care of his remnant in the last day. You don't have to worry about anything. You are provided for in the kingdom. Amen? Stand on your feet with me today. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, let your kingdom come, your will be done. On earth, just like it is in heaven. Lord, complete what you've started in your people. You started something here at Landmark 25 years ago. And yet, we're just getting started. We're at the end time, but it's as though we're just getting started after 6,000 years. Jesus came a couple of thousand years ago, and the angels rejoiced. But the angels are at it again, gathering the wheat into the barn. Lord, help us to be mindful when we're on the outside, when we're at the store, when we're at work, when we're at school. Be mindful to those that are hurting. And folks, you're going to feel them reaching out to you. You're going to feel them asking you questions. You're going to hear them asking you questions and whisper within your heart, Lord, what do I say? What do I do? And then you speak that. Bring the wheat in the barn, Lord. Lord, I pray that you'll not root up the tares in our families and homes, that they'll run to you quickly. Let us get out into the field quickly and not be ashamed and embarrassed to present the gospel. Not to be ashamed of the gospel. Not to be ashamed of who we are. We are different. Help every single one of us in this room right now never to compromise. Help our children as they're out in Super Church, Lord, to learn never to compromise, to belong. We don't need to be cool. We're already cool. You've already made the distinction. The NIV says, he said, I've made a distinction. I've drawn a difference between. The difference is upon us. Would anyone be honest today? Say, Pastor, I feel like I bundled with the wrong ones. I'm bundling up with the wrong people and I've lost my way. Will he receive me? Of course he will. Of course he will. He loves you. He loves you. Oh God. Don't live below it, folks. Don't live below what he's put in our hearts. Would you lift your hands, begin to worship him? Just praise him. Thank him for who he is. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Activate the eyes of our hearts. Activate the eyes of our heart, Lord. Activate us by your Spirit. Could you sing that, Brother Chris? Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. You'll help him in that. Thank you, Jesus. Just ask him to do that right now again. Sometimes our eyes are closed, our heart is closed, we're not paying attention, everything else is going on. We're too busy. But he said, I want to talk to you. I want to see you. I want you to hear me. I want you to be obedient to me, and I want you to listen. Wonderful Jesus. My God. Bless the Lord. Glory to God. Revival is here, church. I'm telling you. The very last verse in Isaiah 60 says, a small one shall be a thousand, and a small one, a mighty nation. And it will happen in its time. It is set by God. Christmas was saying, I don't know why. I preached to 60 people for 49 years. It grew to 100, but he could never get over that. 49 years. And he said it was last Christmas. He walked into the church and it was packed. And the glory came in. And it has humbled those people in such a mighty way. And so I don't know when, I don't know how, but I'm going to tell you, the glory of God is gathering. He's bundling and gathering. And we'll see it all at the same time. Amen. Come on. God bless you and keep you. Cause his face to shine on you. May his countenance rest upon you. Be gracious to you. Bless your home and keep you, your finances, your children, and your entire family. I bless you this day in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah.